Last November, in the city of Bloomington, Indiana, the home of Indiana University and a lot of so-called tolerance, Mayor John Hamilton announced that a holiday that city workers get paid for was going to be renamed to reflect a lot more cultural sensitivity. So from now on, Good Friday there is going to be referred to as Spring Holiday. This is what Mayor Hamilton said. Good Friday is a part of what Christians call Holy Week. But why should the rest of us have to acknowledge it? What's so special about what happened then anyway? Yeah, the greatest, most significant event in the history of the whole wide world, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and millions of Americans don't know beans from apple butter why it really happened. Well, why did it really happen? We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a short series for Lent just called Why. Simply looking at why Jesus suffered and died and rose again from the dead. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And to answer that question, we turn this morning to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the first part of verse 18. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18a. Peter writes, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you for the cross. And I pray you just open our eyes this morning all over again about the incredible thing that happened on the cross when you suffered and died there. Lord, if it's a new things for first-timers, if it's a reminder for us old-timers, I pray you'd give us a brand new appreciation today for the cross of Christ. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word, teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Now, folks, that is an incredible scene showing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ based directly on the Gospels. But the question is this morning, why? Why in the world did that happen? The text we have in front of us this morning gives us the shortest and the simplest explanation of all. All through 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's been telling persecuted Christians that there is value in suffering for the good of other people. And our text today tells us that is exactly what Jesus was doing when he suffered on the cross. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, why did Jesus die on the cross is not only a question that this text answers, it's also a question that every single one of us has to answer for ourselves as well. Our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18a, tells us three simple reasons why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross, is because that was his calling. Verse 18 starts out here, Christ died. And to understand why, we need to understand who Jesus Christ really is. And contrary to a lot of people's personal opinions today, Jesus was not just a myth or another Marvel superhero like Black Panther. In the early first century, there really was a Jesus Christ who lived and taught and did signs and wonders and who was actually crucified. Jewish historian Josephus, who lived at that same time, said this, "Jesus was a wise teacher of men and a doer of miraculous deeds, and Pilate condemned him to death on the cross." The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Son of God, God Himself who came to earth in human form. His miracles proved that He was God, and His sinless life proved that He was God. John chapter 8 verse 36 says no one could ever prove anything that Jesus ever did wrong. Even Pontius Pilate, who condemned Him to die, admitted that he found no fault with Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ had no sin. So Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for His own sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. Last July the 7th, little 3-month-old Mariana Sifrin from Des Moines, Iowa, died from viral meningitis 11 days after being kissed by an uncle with a cold sore on his lip. And you say, Kevin, she died and she was innocent. Why didn't God have her die for our sins? Well, first of all, because she wasn't innocent. Because all human beings are born in sin. And second of all, in order to bring God and man together, it took a God-man. And the only God-man there ever was Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, God promised that one day He would send the Messiah, or the Christ in the Greek, who would save people by dying for their sins, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. And that Christ was Jesus Christ. And He knew it. Jesus said, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, Mark 10:45, to give my life as a ransom for many. So the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was not a conspiracy theory. It wasn't a Game of Thrones. It just wasn't a matter of Jesus being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Pilate and Herod and the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers did not hand Jesus over to be crucified. God the Father did that, because that was Jesus' calling. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. But the problem is, most people today couldn't care less, because they don't think that sin is any big deal anymore. Today, people don't repent of sin, we just redefine it. When actress Jennifer Lawrence posed nude for those scenes in that movie Red Sparrow, she said it was empowering. Now, how taking your clothes off and getting naked makes you more powerful is beyond me. But see, that is what they call it today. That movie Call Me By Your Name has a 24-year-old man committing sodomy on a 17-year-old kid. And yet Hollywood nominated that for one of the best pictures at the Academy Award. Recently, 20-year-old Kylie Jenner had a baby with her boyfriend, rapper Travis Scott. This is what Kylie Jenner said. Travis and I have no plans to ever get married to supposedly make this right, because we've done absolutely nothing wrong. None of those old rules apply to anybody anymore. Nothing to be ashamed of there. Sin. What century are you from? The biggest reason people do not understand why Jesus died on the cross is because they do not understand sin. But people, listen to me. Sin is real. Stephen Paddock, who shot up that music festival last October the 1st out in Las Vegas, was not radicalized by ISIS. He had no political or religious motives at all. Absolutely no axe to grind whatsoever. And an autopsy of his brain showed no traumatic injury, no CTE, and no Alzheimer's or dementia at all. And you know why? Because sin is not an emotional problem or a physical problem. Sin is a spiritual problem. The Bible tells us that our sin is an insult to the holiness of God. And because of that, it separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that sin can cause us to die physically and spiritually, separated from God forever in a place called hell. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, God is just so big and powerful. Why doesn't God just forgive it? Just like that and let it go. Okay. I'm driving my car while texting, and I run over and kill your 3-year-old daughter in a crosswalk on the street. And I put the window down and say, sorry, my bad. And you wave back and say, no biggie, I forgive you. No! A crime has been committed, and it needs to be paid for. And because all of our sin is first of all and foremost against God, and the severity of the punishment increases according to the honor of the person that's offended, God cannot and will not forgive any sin at all unless it's first of all paid for. So fellow sinners, we are in debt to God up to our eyeballs. And sin hurts people. Last January, 40-year-old Michael Diebolt, the police chief in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, and married to the love of his life, Danielle, was arrested for soliciting sex online with a 14-year-old girl. And when he was arrested, you know what he said? My life is totally over. This is what his wife Danielle said. I am broken, devastated, humiliated, and never hurt so much in my entire life. The man I thought I was married to no longer exists. The life I thought my husband and I had together is completely shattered. Everything we ever dreamed of together and worked for together is completely destroyed and gone forever. Sin kills. People, let me ask you this morning, what has sin cost you? How has sin hurt you? Deny it all you want to, folks. Sin is real. And because of that sin, we are separated from God with a death penalty hanging over our heads and deserving of nothing but hell. Don't tell me we don't need somebody to come in and save us. And folks, that is exactly what Jesus Christ was called to do. Last February the 14th, Parkland, Florida, Broward County, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz walked into Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School with an AR-15 and for over 6 minutes roamed up and down the halls shooting students and teachers at random, killing 17 people and wounding 50 others before leaving that school and being arrested 2 hours later. People, it was a turkey shoot. And what breaks your heart even more is what we found out later. That high school had an armed security officer assigned to it every single day. A Broward County deputy named Scott Peterson. And yet when nearby Coral Springs police arrived and showed up at the scene for backup, they found Scott Peterson outside the building, even though the shooting was going on inside the building. And surveillance tape showed that he wasn't alone because three other Broward County deputies had also taken up a defensive position outside the building. So finally, Coral Springs police, along with two other Broward County deputies, went inside that school to engage the shooter. But by that time, Nicholas Cruz had already hightailed it out of there, and 17 people were already dead. 8 days later, Scott Peterson resigned, and those three other officers are still under investigation. For 27 minutes, which is an eternity, when people are being shot at and bleeding and dying out, those officers stayed on the outside, hemming and hawing, instead of going inside that building and taking on the shooter and taking him out. For whatever reason, they didn't do their job, and they failed to fulfill their calling. And as a result, 17 people are dead and gone forever. Well, thank goodness, Jesus Christ didn't do exactly the same thing. 2,000 years ago, when millions and millions of people in this world were dying and going to hell, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the nanosecond He got that call, didn't just take up a defensive position in heaven. Jesus took on human form, came to this earth, went to the cross, took on sin and death and hell and judgment, and took it out, saving the souls of millions and millions of people. Those police officers did not go in because they were afraid they were going to die. Jesus Christ went in because He knew He was supposed to die. Those officers' calling was to protect and to serve. Jesus Christ's calling was to die and to save. Those officers failed it. Jesus Christ nailed it. The first reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross is because that was His calling. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not only because that was His calling, but also to pay the price for our sin. And to understand this, we need to understand the problem that God had. Now, because God is just, He has to punish sin. But because God is also loving, God doesn't want to punish the people who are committing the sin. And because we human beings cannot possibly pay off our own sin, Psalm chapter 49, verse 7, God decided ahead of time that Jesus would pay for it instead. And because the penalty for sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the price for our sin. And the reason that's so incredible is because, as this verse reads in the Greek, Jesus, the righteous one, died for, on behalf of, or instead of, the unrighteous people. an innocent one dies for guilty people who should have died. In the Old Testament, God told people to take an innocent lamb and sacrifice it, and the blood would atone for or cover up their sin. And that innocence would be passed to the guilty people, and they would be spared. But Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says none of that animal blood ever really forgave their sin, because even though it covered it up, it never really took it away. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, offered the perfect sacrifice. Because what does Jesus do? He takes away the sins of the world. And because of that, Romans chapter 4 verse 25, by faith, God justifies the ungodly. By our simple act of faith in Jesus Christ, and that alone, our sin is credited to Jesus' account, Jesus' righteousness is credited to our account, and God justifies us, sees us as innocent, just as if we had never sinned. That's what the cross is all about, Charlie Brown. That's what Christianity is all about. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now saying, but Kevin, that's just too easy. Wasn't for God. 2 weeks ago in Roanoke, Virginia, a dad named Brian Thornhill caught his 10-year-old son bullying other kids on the school bus. So for the next 3 days, dad made his son run a mile to school in the rain rather than letting him ride the bus. Now, every dad should punish their son for something wrong that they do. But what kind of a dad punishes for son for things wrong that other people do? Because that's what God did. And especially like that, on a cross. People, don't you dare ever, ever, ever say that God does not love you. Because Jesus didn't just die on the cross. Jesus died for you. The righteous for the unrighteous. And notice the text says here, Jesus died once for all, which means Jesus didn't have to die over and over again, like a cat with 9 lives. Jesus died once, one and done. The very nanosecond Jesus died on that cross, he yelled out, "It is finished," in the Greek, tetelestai, which literally means paid in full for all sin, for all people, for all time, past, present, and future. And God did that because he knew that you and I could never pay for that. If you owed me $1 million and you started paying that back to me by peeling off one $1 bill at a time, it would take you 11 and a half days to pay off that debt. Our national debt right now is $20,874,435,529,538. And if we tried paying off that debt, counting off, peeling off one $1 bill at a time, it would take us 630,000 years. But it's even worse, because every single day, the interest on that national debt is $1,298,630,136.99 more. That much more every single day. So folks, you and I will never be able to pay off that national debt. And because we sinners sin more against God every day, more and more every single day, you and I will never ever be able to pay off that debt of sin we owe to God either. So God just put Jesus on the cross and paid for it himself, once and for all. And folks, just as sure as a one-legged duck swims in a circle, that's mercy. And because of that, you and I don't have to add anything else to the payment that Jesus already made for us. In order to be saved, we don't have to trust Jesus Christ plus anything. We don't have to trust Jesus Christ plus say a Hail Mary. We don't have to trust Jesus Christ plus eat fish on Friday or go to church on Saturday or take communion every Sunday or speak in tongues or be baptized by immersion. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Jesus is enough. And folks, that's why Christianity is so different from all the other faith systems in the entire world. When it comes to salvation, Islam has the 5 pillars. Do. Buddhism has the 8-fold path. Do. Hinduism says be a good person. and you can get off the spin cycle of reincarnation. Do. But Christianity says trust in what Jesus Christ has already done for you at the cross. Not do, but done. Already done. Once and for all. Everybody else sings that song. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. It's only us Christians that sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. And folks, do we have any idea how incredible is that love that Jesus Christ had for us to do that for us on the cross? When I was in college at Illinois Wesleyan University, I fell in love with a lot of girls. One of them was right there. Her name was Marcia. She worked in the cafeteria with me. I had one class with her, but every single time I tried to talk to her, every time I tried to sit by her, every time I tried to get close to her at all, she looked at me like I had a third eye. And eventually, a guy gets sick and tired of beating his head against a brick wall, and you just give up. How in the world can you stay in love with somebody who doesn't love you back? But folks, that is exactly how Jesus Christ loved us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus loved us so much, He died on the cross for us. All the while knowing we might never ever love Him back at all. Last October the 1st, 56-year-old John Piffen and his son Travis from Santa Clarita, California, were at that music festival in Las Vegas when Stephen Paddock opened fire from the Mandalay Bay Resort. John Piffen was a wonderful father, 6 kids, wonderful husband, business owner, but the very second the shooting started, without even thinking twice, he got up and immediately jumped on top of 2 girls in front of him to try to shield them from the bullets and took 6 shots in the back and in the head and died right there in the arms of his son. Travis Piffen said this, "My dad gave his life for somebody he didn't even know." But folks, do you know what's even more killer than that? Jesus Christ knew absolutely everything about you. All the partying, all the drinking, all the jealousy, all the anger problems, all those things you do when you're by yourself at home, all those places you go online, and He still died on that cross to pay the price for your sin and to forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now thinking, Kevin, that's great, but God could never, ever forgive me for what I've done. It's too bad. No. No. From 1997 to 2006, Dr. Larry Nassar, out of Michigan State University, was the head honcho doctor for the U.S. Olympic Committee, specializing in treating female gymnasts. He was married, had 3 beautiful kids, respected faculty member at MSU, and got all kinds of kudos for being the doctor who treated the female gymnasts in 5 different Summer Olympics, some of the greatest female gymnastics teams ever assembled in Olympic history. Larry Nassar was on top of the world. But then in 2016, a 32-year-old woman named Rachel Del Hollander, who was part of one of those gymnastics teams, sent an email to a newspaper in Indianapolis saying that Dr. Larry Nassar had sexually molested her back when she was 15 years old. And as time went on, more former gymnasts came forward, one after the other, claiming that Dr. Larry Nassar had also sexually abused them. See, he'd be real nice to those girls when the coaches were hard on him. And he'd do them favors and slip them candy without the coaches knowing it. And then he would take them in the training room and touch them in all kinds of ways that had absolutely nothing to do with physical therapy. Sometimes under a towel while their parents were in the same room. Can you imagine? And he did that because he knew those girls were too young and too confused and too naive to ever say anything until 2016 when the dam broke. And everybody from Allie Reisman to Gabby Douglas to Simone Biles testified against him in court. Officials say Dr. Larry Nassar sexually molested at least 357 different girls. People, can you imagine? Can you imagine the hurt and the shame and the pain and the nightmares those women will carry for the rest of their lives? Well, last January the 24th, Dr. Larry Nassar was sentenced to 60 years in prison for possession of child porn and an additional 175 years in prison on at least 10 counts of sexual abuse of those minor gymnasts, which means Larry Nassar will never get out of prison for the rest of his life. But here's the good thing. The day he was sentenced, 156 of those former gymnasts were allowed to stand up and read victim impact statements to Larry Nassar in that courtroom. And the last one to take a turn was Rachel Del Hollander, who just so happens to be a born-again Christian now. And when she noticed that Larry Nassar had brought a Bible into the courtroom with him that day, this is what Rachel Del Hollander said. If you ever read the Bible that you carry, you will know the definition of sacrificial love is God loving us so much that He gave us His only Son to pay the penalty for our sin. If you ever reach the point of truly facing what you have really done, the guilt will be crushing. And that is what makes the gospel of Jesus Christ so sweet, because it extends grace and mercy where none should be found. And I pray that you experience that soul-crushing guilt so that one day you may experience true repentance and turn to Christ, and then God really will forgive you no matter how horrific your crimes really are. Folks, that is pure gospel. Absolutely nothing in America today is more scumbag than a man who sexually abuses kids. But folks, as bad as Dr. Larry Nassar's crimes were, even he can be forgiven if he just turns from that sin and puts his faith in Jesus Christ and the cross. Not because what he did was okay, because it isn't. Not because he didn't hurt those girls, because he scarred them for life. Not because he shouldn't spend the rest of his life behind bars, because he should. But simply because of what this text says. Christ died once for all sin, for all people, even Dr. Larry Nassar. And I know there's somebody listening to me the sermon right now. You say, Kevin, are you honestly telling me that God could actually forgive somebody for doing something as bad as what Larry Nassar did? Absolutely. And you know why? Because our forgiveness does not depend on anything we did. Our forgiveness only depends on what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. You're sitting in this church right now, listen to this message. The offer that Rachel Del Hollander made to Larry Nassar is exactly the same thing that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you did it. I don't care how many people you hurt. I don't care what kind of consequences you are suffering for it. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross cleanses from all sin. You repent of that sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ and the cross, and Isaiah 43:25, God will remember your sin no more. The second reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross is to pay the price for our sin. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus died on the cross. Verse 18, to bring us to God, to get us into a relationship with God. Now, the God of the Bible loves us. And He wants a relationship with us. But Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says, God is so holy, He can't even stand to look at sin or be in the same room with it. So God cannot be BFF with us sinful people until our sin is completely taken out of the way. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. The very nanosecond Jesus died, Matthew 27:51, the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem that covered up the presence of God in the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 20, by dying on the cross, Jesus opened up a brand new way to God. People, the God of this Bible, who is a consuming fire, who dwells in unapproachable light, a God whom no man has seen or can see, a God who said all throughout the Old Testament, no one can see my face and live, a God that holy and yet who loves you so much, I'm not preacher enough to tell you, you can know Him and you can have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18, Jesus Christ gives us access to God the Father. And folks, we need to realize, Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get to God. You say, no, Kevin, I'll just be a better person. Think so? The number one most popular New Year's resolution that Americans made for 2018 was to be a better person. Do you know what the number one most popular New Year's resolution was for Americans in 2017, just the year before? To be a better person. We can't do that on our own. We need Jesus Christ to make us better. That new TV show on CBS called Living Biblically has a guy trying to live perfectly obeying all the laws in the Bible. And of course it's a comedy because he can't do it. There's no way in the world that we sinful human beings can possibly meet all the righteous requirements of God's laws and God's rules in the Bible. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to perfectly fulfill all those righteous requirements for us, so that we can be seen perfect in God's sight, and we can have a relationship with Him. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to obey God. It just means that with Christ, He forgives us when we fail. We need Jesus Christ to be close to God. And there's people listening to the sermon right now. You need to realize that because you don't have Christ and you still think everything's as fine and dandy as cotton candy. Pop singer Billy Joel said this: "The whole Jesus on the cross thing is just a lot of hocus pocus. This guy nailed to a cross and dripping blood and everybody blaming themselves for his torment. I wasn't responsible for that and I don't need that because I already know God. And God already forgives my sins without any of that Jesus stuff." No. Billy Joel can't know God because the only way you can know God is through Jesus Christ. And his sins aren't forgiven either, not by a long shot. God's forgiveness is not just something that's automatically applied to everybody like social security numbers. Acts chapter 3 verse 19, every single one of us needs to repent. And we need to turn to Christ then, only then, are our sins wiped out. God forgives sin on one basis and one basis only, and that's the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And only then for people who put their faith in that blood and ask for that forgiveness. Otherwise, the sins are still there. And Joel Osteen won't tell you this, but I will. If you don't trust Jesus Christ to pay for your sin, then you will pay for your sin, separated from God in a place called hell. And because we human beings can't possibly pay for our own sin ever, you will pay for it for eternity. That's why hell lasts forever and ever. And you need to realize, if you don't know Christ, it's not like you are making a choice to go to either heaven or hell. Because without Christ, you're already going to hell. You're going there already. John chapter 3 verse 18. You're already condemned because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So your only choice is to trust Christ for salvation and make this big U-turn and go to heaven instead. Either you trust Christ to bring you to God, or Christ will separate you from God in a place called hell. You say, "Well, Kevin, that doesn't sound like Jesus to me." Folks, Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven. Mark chapter 9 verse 44, Jesus said hell is a place of suffering and torment where the fire is not quenched. How many of y'all realize Jesus was a hellfire preacher? You say, "Well, Kevin, I don't believe in hell." That's okay. You will. Eventually. And you not believing in hell doesn't lower the temperature there one bit. Not one degree. And I say that with tears. You say, "But Kevin, I'm a good person." You probably are. Probably a lot gooder than me. But see, good people don't go to heaven. Only forgiven people go to heaven. On judgment day, you stand before God. You can plead all those good things that you've done. You stayed faithful to your spouse. You paid off your college loans. You raised two beautiful kids. You contributed to the United Way. And you kept a nice lawn. And then you will go to hell. But on judgment day, when I stand before God, I will plead one thing and one thing only. That July 21st, 1984, I went to the cross and I confessed my sins to God and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ washed my sins away. That and that alone is the only thing that will ever get me to heaven. You're listening to this sermon right now. You can do exactly the same thing. And the only question is, what in the world are you waiting for? And I've had many, many people tell me, "Kevin, I'll wait to get saved until right before I die." Okay, but do you know exactly when it is that you are going to die? Because those people didn't. Just last Thursday, 2 p.m. Miami time, a 750-foot pedestrian bridge connecting two different sections of Florida International University all of a sudden just collapsed, just like that, and fell onto a six-lane road below. That bridge was just installed last March the 10th and stress tested just that Thursday at 10 a.m. And then 4 hours later, splat, 950 tons of steel and concrete just pancaking cars and trucks that just happened to be passing underneath of it right at that exact moment. Six people crushed to death just like that without any warning whatsoever. And whether you think they died fairly or unfairly is totally immaterial because those people are just as dead. Folks, listen to me. We have absolutely no guarantees. Every single one of us could die at any moment. You say, Kevin, are you trying to scare me? Folks, if I didn't have Christ and I didn't have the blood of Jesus Christ covering my sin and I knew that at any moment I could kick the bucket and go to hell and never get out again, I'd be terrified. And I would run, not walk, but run to the cross and get saved as fast as I possibly could before I died and it would be too late forever. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now saying, okay, Kevin, but is that cross really, really strong enough to save me and to get me through all the fire and the flames? Because of a lot of severe droughts lately and the Santa Ana winds, major parts of California have experienced all kinds of major wildfires in the last 5 years. The Rough Fire in 2012, the Rim Fire in 2013, the Complex Fire in 2014, the Rough Fire again in 2015, the Soberanis Fire in 2016, and the Thomas Fire in 2017. People and animals died. All kinds of structures were totally burned to the ground. Destruction and devastation like you would not believe. But folks, in every single one of those fires, something absolutely incredible happened. Now, all over those parts of California, there are all kinds of old wooden crosses that Christians and churches have put out there many years ago on all the hills and all the ridges. And time after time, in spite of those fires, those crosses, one after another, were not damaged at all. The famous Hilltop Cross in Anaheim Hills, put there many years ago by a church in memory of a former pastor. But during the Rim Fire in 2013, even though that fire turned everything on that hill into nothing but ash, that fire stopped, just stopped, with less than 24 inches away from that cross, and that cross was not bothered at all. The cross still stands. In 2014, a freelance photographer took this picture of the famous 12-foot-high white wooden cross on top of the Azusa Mountains overlooking the San Gabriel Valley. Even though that entire mountain just the day before was totally engulfed in flames, the cross itself had no damage whatsoever. The cross still stands. During the 2016 fire, the famous Sarah Cross, named after a Catholic priest. Even though that fire destroyed everything on that hill up to that point, everything, including the power lines, the cross itself was not damaged, not a bit, not in the least. The cross still stands. The famous Thomas Fire started last December the 6th, 2017, and wasn't put out until just this past January the 12th, 2018. It burned 281,000 acres, 1,063 structures totally burned to the ground, 105,000 people evacuated. Folks, that fire was so huge, it was even creating its own weather patterns. And at its peak was burning an acre per second. But then that fire got close to that 20-foot-high white wooden cross, and the video at the top shows us what happened next. Say what you want. Those crosses survived that fire. And don't tell me that God is not sending the message that the only thing that will survive, the only thing that will get us through the fire and the flames of judgment and hell is the cross of Jesus Christ. But only if we repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ and the cross and the blood He shed there to take our sins away. There's people sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon. You have never done that. Over and over again, time after time, the Holy Spirit has convicted you and told you it's time to get right with God. It's time to trust Christ for salvation before it's too late. But you've never done it. Let me ask you this morning, how much time do you need to decide that heaven is a better place than hell? I don't want you to go to hell, and God doesn't want you to go there either. That's why 2,000 years ago already, He did absolutely everything that was necessary so you wouldn't have to go there. He put His only Son on a cross to pay the price for your sin, to give you salvation and forgiveness. But you need to go to God right now and claim that salvation and that forgiveness for yourself. Would you do that today? The most important question in the history of all time, space, and dimension is this. Why did Jesus die on the cross? And the most important answer of all, the most important answer that you could ever give is this. For me. Jesus died for me. And because of that, I accept Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. Would you do that today? And don't worry. That cross of Christ was put there 2,000 years ago, and it is never, ever, ever going to be destroyed. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from it. And that cross and the blood that Jesus shed on that cross will never, ever, ever lose its power.
It will never